The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
As you've been hearing, European leaders are gathering in Copenhagen today for an informal summit on the agenda, the Russian drone incursions into European airspace, and the EU's continuing commitment to support Ukraine. As you also heard, Ukraine was subjected to one of the largest aerial assaults of the war over the weekend when almost 600 drones were fired by Russia, killing at least four in the capital, Kyiv. And that's where we're going now to speak to Sean Bell, former fighter pilot, military analyst and co-host of the Red Matrix podcast. Sean, good morning.
Good morning to you, Pat.
Now, where exactly are you in Ukraine, or can you tell us?
No, I can. I'm not here on a sort of official business. I'm here as charity support. I'm actually at the memorial for one of the heroes of Ukraine, who was a fellow fighter pilot. His call sign was Juice. He lost his life early in the war. He flew the MiG-29, an old Soviet-style aircraft. But he has been an inspiration to a complete generation of new pilots in the country and is a symbol of just how heroic the Ukrainians have been in the defense of their country.
When you look around the capital, how evident is the damage caused by this incessant drone attack from Russia?
Well, you can imagine. Myself and a colleague came out here on Monday, and my mum, before I left, had seen this massive barrage at the weekend and thought that Kyiv would be like London in the Blitz. Nothing could be further from the truth. I wouldn't want to underplay the danger that people are in. But we've been walking around the city, having Costa coffees, looking around the museums, the churches, meeting people. And most of the city hasn't been touched. It's going about its business as usual. It's a beautiful city. I'm stood in a bit of parkland as we speak at the moment. It's nowhere near the front line. That is obviously very, very different. And the whole war is taking its toll on the people. But Kyiv is retaining its position as a beautiful capital and is symbolic of the tenacity of spirit that people are just getting on with their local, with their lives as best they can.
Now, what is the Ukrainian perspective of international efforts to help them and to deter Russia?
Well, that's an interesting question because they are incredibly grateful, both at the international level, but also the local level. People like ourselves actually traveling out here, doing a little bit to help. It puts tears in their eyes. But there is also an undercurrent that despite that, very grateful for our help. They do remember back in 1994, you know, the UK, America and Russia guaranteed the security of Ukraine in return for them giving up their nuclear weapons. And they're very quick to point out that they gave up those nuclear weapons. Russia would not have invaded had they not done that. And yet when the invasion happened, there is very little that America and actually the UK were able to do to stop the Russian advances. So they clearly are very grateful for the support that's provided, but they are losing this war and they desperately need more help.
Now, the question of Trump, we know that in public, Zelensky has to walk a tightrope in terms of not offending the orange monster. On the other hand, he's got to articulate his position that they really do need armaments. And it is said that the U.S. has given permission for the use of their long-range rocketry into Russian territory. We're not entirely sure is that true, but that might be a bit of a game changer.
It might be, but Pat, I'm a little bit skeptical. First of all, I think what Ukraine is worried is that you need continuous support from your allies. You don't need it on one day and off another because you can't plan. I think the one thing that if you wind the clock back a year, long-range missiles such as Storm Shadow from the UK, ATACMS from the US were critical. In the last year, though, what Ukraine has very effectively done is taken ingredients, the component parts for long-range drones and missiles, and built their own. So they've got this Flamingo missile, which is a long-range missile, and a whole load of long-range drones, which they are building. Zelensky famously wanted to make 1 million drones a year. And they are very effectively, therefore, very rapidly building a whole collection of very effectively highly targeted drones, which are causing havoc with the Russian oil and gas industry, which, of course, is hurting their revenue.
Now, it's hard to get reports that might be accurate out of Russia. When the official news agency report an attack by Ukraine, and they do because they know that Ukraine will probably have drone footage, which they will relay, and therefore it's visible to the world. But you usually get a small fire and two people were injured. That's so we don't know really the extent of the damage, do we?
No, we don't. And I have to say, as a military guy, I think some of that is a distraction, because the real battle is on the front line. And it is on the front line that Russia is slowly, inexorably, at huge price, but is moving forward. Ukraine is losing the battle on the ground. There are some positives. They're losing it far less slowly than we had expected at the start of the year, largely because of the military support, but also because of the bravery of the Ukrainian soldiers on the ground. But I also think that the Ukrainians, I've been speaking to lots of Ukrainians here, they hold out more hope that the attacks they're doing on the energy infrastructure of Russia are becoming more and more effective. They're giving loads of stories now that Russian people are only able to buy 10 litres of fuel, oil or gas for their car at a time. It is starting to have an impact. Whether or not that'll cause an end to the war is another matter altogether. I don't think Putin's going to stop anytime soon, but they at least are able to do something fighting back.
Now, when you've got someone like President Trump saying, you know, they haven't held elections, da-da-da, and heaven knows how could they with being at war with Russia at the moment and people scattered all over the place, not being in a position to vote, and much of their population either exiled externally or internally. So Zelensky's position, is he absolutely secure?
So right at the start of the war, when I first came out, a lot of the population, I thought they'd be universally praising Zelensky. They were not. A lot of people were very skeptical about him. But ever since President Trump and that famous moment in the White House where he argued with President Zelensky, it now feels a very different Ukraine. It feels like everybody is roundly supporting President Zelensky. In their constitution, it talks about not having elections during a war. And I've been speaking to a couple of politicians last night, and they said, even though we may disagree politically, if we were to have an election, all the mudslinging that happens during an election is absolutely not what any of the parties want to be, when they absolutely want to be focused on winning the war and prevailing in this dreadful conflict with Ukraine. So there's nobody here that's asking for an election. They want to see an end to the war. Once that happens, I'm sure there'll be a very, very animated new fight for the next political leaders.
Now, you mentioned that the Russians are inexorably advancing on the front line, and they're doing so, I suppose, led by Russians, but the foot soldiers may well be North Korean or even Chinese. I mean, is the meat grinder such that eventually the Russians will have to cry halt?
Yes. What's interesting is that you get different reports on this. Russians have clearly taken a lot of casualties, but it's worth remembering that the Russians have about four times as many people to draw upon as the Ukrainians. And also, as you say, they're bringing in some from North Korea, potentially some from China as well. And of course, mercenaries. They're paying a handsome price to people to come and fight without really telling them that their life expectancy is very, very short. I think more important for Russia than people is equipment. They are running so short of tanks, artillery pieces and the like, that although their economy is spun up to a wartime economy, they are going to have to stop pretty soon just to recharge. The question then, of course, is how long before they come and take the next bite of Ukraine. And that's why those security guarantees are so important. And that's why President Zelensky is making that a priority.
Now, we know the Russian economy, after the fall of the wall and the rebuilding of the Russian economy, that it's very, very different than it was at the end of the Cold War, before the wall came down. But I remember being in Moscow before all of this redevelopment happened. And I mean, ordinary people could only buy a Lada, a Mickey Mouse car. They couldn't even buy a hairdryer in a consumer store, in an electric store. I mean, it was a terrible economy. And yet the military were very sophisticated and armed to the teeth. So at some point, given the experience that Russians have had of the consumer economy, are things likely to run short and they may realize the price they're going to have to pay for continuing the war?
It's a great question, but I think we tend to ask that question through the lens of the lives we enjoy in the West. Russians have had a particularly difficult history, and I think they don't like to put their head above the parapet. They don't like to complain because very quickly they get locked away and the like. They're not used to the luxuries that we have in the UK. I think the military has been fascinating, though. Putin likes to have these big parades showcasing all this state-of-the-art equipment. But the trouble is, military equipment doesn't equal military capability. You need people involved, logistics support, tactics. And what this war in Ukraine has shown, that despite the fact Russia should have been able to walk over Ukraine very swiftly, it should have had air superiority over the whole of Ukraine, they've not been able to do that because, frankly, they cannot convert some of their equipment into credible, effective military capability. And thank goodness they can't.
Sean Bell, former fighter pilot, military analyst and co-host of the Red Matrix podcast. Thank you very much, Sean, for joining us. Now, still to...
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On News Talk.